First of all, let me extend my sympathy to you. Having to listen to someone that sounds like a bullfrog. I didn't plan it that way, but that's the way it is. I know what it is like to have to sit down there and have to listen to somebody that can hardly talk. Appreciate the invitation of the elders to be able to present a Bible lesson at this time. And if it is a Bible lesson, it is far more important than me. It is eternal because it is Bible, and we must give an account of ourselves in the last day for every word the Lord speaks. I hope this microphone and PA system will be able to boost it just a little bit so you can hear me, because I'm not going to be able to push it very much. You have something to look forward to, though. Brother Dallas Lockhart will be preaching tonight. I don't think he... I said Lockhart. That comes back way back to old times. Don will be preaching tonight. I don't think he has the problems I have. I run true to form every year, and I don't know why. Go through all the winter. Don't seem to have much cold. It comes a beautiful spring, and then it really hits me hard. And I do it upright. Will you bow with me just a moment? Almighty Father in heaven, give us the strength to be able to present these truths in that way that would redound to thy glory and lift us up, that we might do those things that will redound to blessings upon us and would be pleasing in thy sight, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you would, open your Bibles to Genesis 12, 1 and 2. In Ur of Chaldees, a man who had a heathen as his father, his parents, he didn't have too good a background. Don't ever get that idea. I'm talking about Abraham. So let's don't go around pouting because we didn't have the best background. But to a man who was to become a man after God's own heart, a man that all posterity, God would say, you are the children of Abraham, if you do my will. God said, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That's our subject for this morning, and I put it in that positive way, you be a blessing. Of course, I'm speaking directly and mainly to we who are God's family. I think of us who know much about Abram, know it was who became known as Abraham, to know exactly what God meant and what it means to be a blessing. I'm not going through all of Abraham's life, but just spotted briefly. Abraham, be a blessing. You remember when there was a great conflict between he and Lot and their servants, the people who work for them. Abraham says, Lot, let's not have a strife. You look it over. You know, isn't that unselfish? Isn't that wonderful? Look it over. Pick what you want. And then I'll take what's left. Or I'll take the other. Being a blessing meant we'll not have any problems. Sodom and Gomorrah, so wicked. Abraham, you be a blessing. A people who was unfit to be considered, as you and I might say it. Abraham says, God, don't do this to them. If I can find in you a member of the steps, even 10 righteous people, would you spare it? God said yes. Think what a blessing Abraham was to people who didn't deserve it. They may never have known what a blessing he could have been and would have been to those people. Lot, that selfishly looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and chose that which he shouldn't have. Abraham, you be a blessing. It was later that Abraham was the one that went in and rescued Lot, saved him. Abraham, you be a blessing. Just wrapping it all up, I think you and I can see what it means. For Abraham to be a blessing meant that everyone who was around him, everyone who had connection with him, benefited from him. And you and I today, the teeming hundreds of Christians, can look back and say, Abraham blessed us. He was a blessing to us. And that's what God meant and means for you and me. Be a blessing. Sort of wrapping it up like this. When you're gone, make sure there'll be a big vacuum. That it'll not be a day of rejoicing. The world says, good. We're glad that we're rid of them. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, 34th chapter. If you would read this entire chapter, it would sort of make your heart sick. God's leaders are God's shepherds. They made themselves fat and didn't care about God's people. The shepherds scattered the sheep. The sheep were wandering around aimlessly because the shepherds of God didn't care. This is the first part of the chapter. 10th verse, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand. You know, that's something elders can look at because it's the same principle. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. Thank God we don't have shepherds like that here at Knollwood that only think of themselves. I will deliver my flock from their mouths that they may no longer be food for them. Now verses 25 and 26. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Isn't that a calm, peaceful picture? And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. And there shall be showers of blessing. Does that sound familiar to you? Open your book, Songbook 565, and you'll see what it's based on now. I'm not going to try to sing it either. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessings, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word, showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God, we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call, showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings if we trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing when we let Him have His way. Showers of blessings. One other passage, we're just going from sort of one end to the other of the Bible. Now, 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, to the church, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Isn't that beautiful? God blessed you and me, that we might be a blessing to others, that in turn we might get more blessings. How rich can it be? The God of rich blessing. So this is more or less a development of what we didn't have time to finish the last sermon on the positive side. Remember, we're salt and light. We tried to depict how rotten and pathetic the world is and how it needs us. Did you ever stop and think, what would this old world be today if you took all good people out of it, all Christians out of it? A lot of people don't have time for Christ. But believe me, you better stop and be thankful there are good people in this world, even though you're not trying to uphold it. That's what makes the world keep going. You young people, I know it's tough and rough, and you're called on to live in conditions that I never knew what it was like when I was that age. We didn't have to face those things. And you may look at one side and say, land, it's discouraging, but look at the other side. Has there ever been a time that anybody was called on more to be a blessing to those people? They need you to stand up and be counted to be a blessing. Wives and husbands, when the family and the home is so broken down as it is today, how refreshing it is to find that good, godly Christian mother who is tender and loving and kind and says things of kindness and not of hate. And vice versa of a husband that in this selfish world loves a wife as Christ loves the church. That somebody today can look and say, they're a blessing. It's such a blessing to have Christian fathers and mothers in this old world and parents, children. You may never know it today what a blessing it is if you have Christian parents. Elders, when people just don't seem to care and when the church is apostatizing, and people don't seem to care for spirituality, and many are selling out to Christ. To the elders here, if there was a time in this world when you need to be a blessing, it is now. Oh, I know it's discouraging. I could say to Brother Smith, Brother Smith, like back in the Old Testament, remember the man that got so discouraging and everything turned against him? You know what people said? Just give up. Curse God and die. You know who I'm talking about, Job. Maybe things are hard to look at and hard to take. Maybe you say, well, why did it happen to me? That husband or that wife or that son that's not doing what they ought to. I just feel like quitting. Don't ever do it. If there ever was a time, brother, you need to stand in there and stand up. That's the only hope they have for you to be a blessing. Let's say Harold over here just says, oh, I'm discouraged and I'm going to quit. Is that going to be a blessing to me? What kind of a blessing would that be to his family? What kind of a blessing would it be to a child? But suppose Harold says, I'm going to stand in there and stand for my Lord. That may be the blessing that that person needs. To be able to say what I do has proven there's something to Christianity because they didn't give it up. I know that's making it personal. I hope Harold doesn't mind to do that once in a while in talking to people, but so we can get a hold of something. That's the blessing people need, and that's the only hope there is for it. Maybe someday when they look at my lifeless body, and they haven't done so well, whoever they might be around me, and they always say that they never really know how good you are until you're dead. You ever hear that statement? Suppose they come by the casket then and say, how much I've got to remember. I've got to straighten up my life because they were a blessing. There was something to this life. You be a blessing. When you go to work, people are living ungodly and selfishly and telling those tales. What a blessing if you're not ashamed to stand up and live that wholesome, pure Christian life. It may be discouraging, but you know it takes some time for people to have things proven to them. Aren't you like that? Somebody comes along and says, oh, they're a good person. You say, I want to see it proven. You don't believe it just that day, do you? But when that person lives by you day, works by you day by day by day, you don't get down in the gutter with them. You maintain your high moral standard. You keep the purity of your lips. You keep a mind that is free from corruption. And you will be a blessing to everyone that knows you. When you're gone, they may have tried every way in the world to get you to be like them. But you know something? The day you'd become like them, you become a disappointment to them. You become a disappointment to them. It's when they try and try and try again, and they can't budge you. You stay in there and stand for right. It takes a while. It may take a whole life, but you'll be a blessing to those people, and when you're gone, they'll feel the vacuum. We had something here when that brother or that Christian worked here. We don't have any more. Some of us better begin to do like it. Am I dreaming, brethren? Not at all. Be a blessing. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in high places, in heavenly places, in Christ. We've got it all. And God is saying, don't you think you ought to share that a little bit with other people? Let them see how wonderful it is to be blessed so they can have a blessing too. Matthew 23:11. Jesus is telling us today, as he told him back then, who's the best, biggest? And I use that word all right, you understand? Who's the biggest, who's the greatest member at Knollwood? You know who he is? One's that dresses up the best and looks the biggest. What did he say? He, and this is Jesus' definition of it. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Simple, isn't it? Simple, how simple truth is. Well, did Jesus set an example like this that we're talking about? Acts 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. That's what God is saying. That's all these verses that we've read. You go about doing good. What good? The good that God tells us to do. And you will be a blessing, that you may inherit the blessing. John 9 and verse 4 should be our attitude day by day. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. One of these days I won't be able to do. I'll be in my grave. While it's today, say that kind word. Tell that lost soul about Jesus. Be courteous to that wife and that husband. You know, that's strange, how that the people that we are the closest to, we become the most discourteous to. You explain that one to me. We take them for granted. You hear that so often, don't we? If there ever was a place we ought to show courtesy and respect and develop that, it ought to be right there in the home, here in the church, and at work where we work. It's just about gone, so I'm about to quit. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, another passage that Christians should always remember. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he had it all, yet for your sakes he became poor, just to show off. He became poor that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, as you know, there's lots that we could have said in this lesson, but you know why we're not. But I hope that we make and get the point across that God intends for us to be a blessing. The world needs it. The Knollwood Church, I believe, is a blessing in the community. And what I'm doing is not trying to tear that down, but to encourage it for more and more. We haven't even touched the hem of the garment, as it were, what we can do for good. And let the world know that it's a blessing to have the Knollwood Church of Christ people around. even though they're discouraging it, they're benefiting from it. Maybe in this lesson this morning, you who are not Christians can understand the other side of this picture. Without Jesus, you don't have any place. You're in the dark. You're going to be ashamed. You're going to be turned away. You're going to be an outcast. And this little day of life will be over so quick. As we sing this invitation song to one, if you would like to be blessed with a good conscience, salvation, purity of heart and life, hope for eternity, you can. But faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with your Lord in baptism, to come forth from that watery grave to live a Christian life, that you receive these great blessings of God to become a blessing to others. There's your positive living. That's your positive side. And if you're subject to it and your mind is ready and you choose that, only you can do it. Come, Holy Spirit.